Hi, today's May 21st, 2016, and this is Comics News podcast number 80. That's 80. I'm Todd Ogasawara with my good friend Jay Stone, and today we're going to be, I should mention, we haven't recorded a Comics News podcast since, what, February?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's some schedule conflicts and stuff. It happens. But any case, number 80, here we are. Captain America Civil War is our topic today. I took a look at it on opening weekend. How about you, Jay? When did you see it?
It wasn't opening weekend because my daughter, she was going to come home from college and then we were going to go see it together. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't want to see it. She said she was going to see it with her boyfriend. So
okay. That makes sense.
Then I went to go see it. I just went some night. I forget when. Because I have a theater right by my house.
Right.
So I just went and I asked my wife and my daughter if they wanted to come. They said, nah, it's too late. I'm not going to go.
Oh, okay. But you did see it.
I just went. Okay. It was like super empty.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. By my house?
Oh.
At the theater by my house. There's like no one there.
Oh, it was packed and I went. But I was opening weekend, so not surprised.
Yeah, you know, it's playing on so many different theaters. It's kind of ridiculous.
Okay, I got to ask one more question before we get started on our topic of the night. Did you go see Batman versus Superman?
Oh, yeah. I saw it on the preview night.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's right, again, I have a theater right by my house. So I was like, I'm going to go watch it. You guys want to come? And so my daughter and my wife said, yeah, we'll go. And we went. We saw the late show.
Oh, okay.
I saw it on a Thursday. And then they said, hey, did you watch it? Yeah, I saw it last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I like having a theater right by my house, especially where I live, because not too many people go to it because everyone goes to the mall.
Right.
So, yeah, when I went to go see Civil War, I think there were three people in the whole theater.
That is wild.
And I only saw it like last week. I saw it a week after it opened up, I think.
Okay, now I know this is not the topic for tonight, and I have not gone to see Batman vs. Superman. In fact, I don't even think it's playing anymore.
Oh, that's too bad. That's one of the films you should see in a theater.
Really?
I think so.
It's got such a bad rating, I didn't want to spend money on it.
Yeah, but I don't think the rating is well deserved. Not
really.
That. Yeah, I've been online. I speak out against it on certain things. I don't understand the vitriol towards it. It is a very okay. Is that Warner Brothers went with what's called a tour approach to their movies, which they aren't going to do anymore.
Okay.
So what they did was, instead of having a overseer like Kevin Feige, I don't know how to pronounce his name, at Marvel Studios, Warner Brothers went with an auteur approach like how they did with Christopher Nolan. Let the director figure out how he wants to tell the story. I mean, it worked for The Dark Knight, right?
Right.
So, let's be different. Let's not do what everyone else wants to do, which I thought was good. Why be like everyone else? So they let Zack Snyder do Man of Steel. So you know I like it, but I know you don't.
Well, I haven't seen it. So I have to just say I'm just basing it on the reviews. And I just decided not to see it. Because I have gone to see movies with, you know, reviews on Rotten Tomatoes with the average review of, say, in the 20s or 30s. And I have been very disappointed, even though I went in knowing it was a bad movie or at least rated badly by a number of critics.
Oh, no, I mean Man of Steel.
Oh, Man of Steel. Yeah. Yeah,
I liked it. You're like,
yeah, I was kind of in the middle of it. There were moments of it I liked, and then the rest I didn't. Especially the ending. I didn't like the ending.
I mean, a lot of Zack Snyder movies that I've seen are kind of like that. There's some parts that I think are just brilliant, and other parts that are like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, Batman versus Superman, it's like 27%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. Not at all.
Hmm.
Not even close. That means it's worse than Man of Steel. I don't think so. That's my opinion. I mean, I tend to think it's closer to what the popcorn rating says, which the last time I saw it was in the 60s.
Okay, which is still not high, but it's acceptable.
Yeah, I don't. After I've watched some movies that were really low rated,
right?
On Rotten Tomatoes by the critics, the tomato side, but the popcorn side was high, and I went, okay, I think the people were correct. Okay. The critics were off base.
Okay.
I've also watched movies which are highly critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
Very high rating on the Rotten Tomato and low rating on the popcorn. And I was like, okay, the critics are just, I understand why they like it, but I went, why should I spend my money to see that kind of movie? I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I have to say that some of the artsy movies that get super high ratings, I could not. I just couldn't stomach it. It's not my kind of movie.
Now, if a movie gets good ratings on the critic and the popcorn.
Yeah, which is what I look for.
Chances are it's probably a decent movie. Is it the ratings that they say it is? Probably not, because it's an aggregation of all these different people, right?
Right. So
for me, I may like it as much or I may not like it as much. But after going, seeing all these, you know, watching movies that are highly critic, low popcorn, or high popcorn, low critic, I've come to the conclusion I don't even want to read reviews anymore. And there's other people at my workplace who feel the same, who are like, don't even read any review, see the movie, make your own decision, because I feel like it colors the people's opinions. And
I will admit it colored mine, and I look at the previews and I just, you know, that's the kind of those two things that just bothered me a lot.
So, I mean, all three of us who went to see it, we liked Batman versus Superman.
Interesting. Okay.
But I know a lot of people didn't like it. I personally loved the movie. It was too long, though.
Oh.
But I think most movies are too long. I think Civil War was too long. I thought Lord of the Rings was too long. I think even Star Wars is too long. Usually, well, I'm also, hey, everyone out there are like five fans or whatever. Right. Listen to us. I'm a big believer in watching DVDs at double time.
Really? I've never done that.
I have my Blu-ray player. If I press it fast forward once, right, I can still hear everything, read all of the the subtitles.
Right.
And watch the film, and I still love it. In fact, I love it more because it's quicker.
Shorter.
And I even listen to podcasts 1.5 times. I can't listen to it at regular speed. Because unless the director is really, really good at using, at pacing.
Yeah.
At building up tension, like Hitchcock. Then I'm sorry, it's just not worth it.
And there aren't very many Hitchcocks.
There aren't. I mean, they just. It's just. It's like. That's just wasted air. You know, the fight scene is too long, or you're watching them do things or whatever. That's right. Not really moving the story along.
So before we move along to Captain America, then. Let me give you an example.
Which I thought was too long.
Okay. Let me give you an example of a movie I thought was well-paced, and you tell me if you agree, and if you have another example of a movie you thought. I thought Guardians of the Galaxy was well-paced.
Guardians of the Galaxy was amazing. In my mind, other than Winter Soldier, of all the Marvel movies that I have seen,
mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy is probably my top. It made a lot of money, but I think people, I cried because a tree died.
Well, it wasn't exactly a tree. It was,
well, I mean, he, you know, it's a sentient tree, right? Yeah.
But I am Groot. Yeah.
When the film can do that, I went, okay. And I'm not really a big fan of the comic because I remember the old one.
Yeah, me too. I'm a fan of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, yes, not the crew that was in the movie.
Yeah, not the people in the movie. You know, the big guy from Jupiter and
right, Blockbuster, and, whatever his name was,
Vance Astro, whatever. Right. Yondo.
Yondo.
Rio Yondo, not the one we saw.
Right.
So that's the one I like. But
yeah, me too.
From the very beginning of the film to the end, I was thoroughly engaged.
Yep.
I didn't even think it was long of a movie, but it was a hell of a long movie.
It just didn't seem that way.
No, I really, really liked it.
Right. And I have to say, you know, I only follow one celebrity on Facebook, and that's James Gunn, the director of the movie. And let me tell you, even his Facebook postings are entertaining.
That guy, he's very creative. He's very smart with his movies. Although I believe I've only seen the one.
Yeah, me too. Sample size
one. If he makes every movie the way he makes Guardians of the Galaxy, and I don't mean it just because it was funny. I mean, there were a couple parts that were a little stretched out, but most of the film is one of the best films I've ever seen, all put together.
Yep.
It was just amazing.
Yep. Well, you know, he's filming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 right now as we speak, so.
I know. I hope it's just as good. And the thing is, I didn't even think it was a superhero movie.
It was a space opera.
Yeah. I think, remember, we had that one. Emil was on that review we did, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, didn't he say it was kind of like this, the Star Wars for this generation?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I would agree. It went beyond being, it didn't even have to be a Marvel movie.
Right.
Right?
It doesn't have to have anything to do with Marvel, yeah. Although it does, obviously.
I mean, they had superpowers and stuff, but they're all aliens, right? Well, some of them. Except for one guy. Right. But it was just, I was so impressed by it. And I don't think it was just because I had really low expectations. I
didn't know what to expect at all. I had maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much. I had no expectations.
Well, you see, that's why, you know, we've been talking about Batman versus Superman, Civil War, and other movies at lunch. And one guy keeps on saying, don't read any reviews.
Mm.
And I'm beginning to believe him because it's like, if you read all those reviews about one movie or another, it starts to influence you. Mm-hmm. Like, my daughter saw, you know, I told her a little bit about what the reviews said about Batman versus Superman.
Right.
And she loved the movie, but at the same time, she agreed with what some of the
critics said.
Critics said, yeah. But then she said, if I didn't know it, if no one told me what the critics said, I wouldn't even have noticed it. Right? So. Right. You know, me, I'm just going to think about, okay, do I want to see a movie or not? And I'm going to try to resist. I don't know. It's such a habit of me to go to Rotten Tomatoes. But I'm going to try to resist reading stuff because it's like, it actually ruins the experience for me. Even if it's a good movie. Like, I didn't like Captain America Civil War probably as much as I could have because I read the review. You know? I expected more than what I got.
Okay. So let's set up some expectations then. First of all, I should mention that I have not read Civil War comic book series.
Oh, you should read it. It's way better than the movie.
I bought volume 1 and 2. It was on sale. It was half price at both, actually, Google Play and Comixology the week the movie opened. So I actually bought volumes 1 and 2. I think I spent a whole $8 or something. I thought that was a pretty good deal for both volumes. So I have it sitting on my iPad, and I have not read it yet. But I do have it, so I will read it. Maybe I'll read it when I'm traveling next month. But in any case, I have not read that. So I did not have any expectations in our movies, except for maybe what you told me a little bit about what Civil War is about, and some summaries I've read over the years in catching up on things. So I went in without that set of expectations, so I don't know how the real Civil War's comic book series flows and ends and all of that. I believe the ending is very different from the movie, but I didn't know that. I don't know that, I should say, even today, for sure. I am, however, familiar with all the characters in the movie, so I had some expectations there. I've seen all the other Marvel movies that came before it, and I know that the Civil War's comic book series has a lot more characters. I think Fantastic Four had a big role, X-Men, and those are not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because they belong to Fox, right? So sorted Spider-Man, but they finagled that. So it's not quite as grand as the comic book series. Is that pretty much it? You've read it, I take it, Jay.
Yeah, I've read the compilations, the ones I can get my hands on.
Uh-huh.
Civil War, the comic, in my mind, is better than the film.
Okay.
Only because it the film compresses so much into the 2.5 or so hours.
Right.
Or, you know, however long it was.
Yeah.
It's they can delve into more topics in the comics because they have more time.
Right. And they're a tributary series, right? Not just the main Civil War series. Or
yeah, there's you know, there's tie-ins. You know, there's also you can have like all the Marvel characters, right?
Right.
In the comic book, because you're not restricted by the movie rights.
Right.
They have, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, given that said, you've read the comic books, I haven't. Let me give the sort of the 1 minute synopsis from my end. First, I liked it. I'll give it a thumbs up. I thought the first half was way too slow. In fact, my wife was kind of nodding off, and I had to kind of elbow her.
Yeah, I agree. It was too long.
Yeah, they could have compressed that first half especially.
Yeah.
I should say that at this point, we haven't given any spoilers yet, but spoiler alert, at this point in the podcast, I'm going to take the gloves off. Jay, feel free to do so too. We can talk about characters, about things that happened. The movie's been out for a couple of weeks now. So, you know, if you haven't gone to see it yet, pause the podcast now. Go see it. Come back. If you've already seen it, well, you know what happened. It's not a spoiler. Okay, so Jay, so getting to the good parts, what did you think overall? I gave it a thumbs up. You said it was too long and you didn't like it that much?
I didn't like it as much as Rotten Tomatoes liked it.
Right, and Rotten Tomatoes aggregate is, I think, 90%.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it's not that good.
You don't think it's a 90% movie?
No, I mean, like Star Wars, the original Star Wars was like 93, 94. At one point, Captain America Civil War was trending around 98, and I went, that's like Toy Story.
Yeah, and I have to say, Zootopia has something amazing, 97, and I don't agree with that either.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a good movie, but it's not 97 or whatever
it is. But it's like 97%. I mean, that's got to be as good as Toy Story 3.
Right, and it's not as good. It's a good movie, but not as entertaining. But anyway, okay, so I would give it, if I were a rater, I would have guessed more like 85% Rotten Tomatoes because the first half is so slow.
Me, I'd make it lower. And I have a reason why.
Okay.
I wouldn't put it in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, part of it was the beginning of the film was way too drawn out. And
right.
Okay, big spoiler, he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Okay, I said long time ago when we talked about future movies.
Right.
He doesn't die, this isn't Civil War.
Right.
He has to die. Who dies? Crossbones. Crossbones isn't supposed to die.
Yeah, nobody even noticed that probably.
You know, that's ridiculous. That they kill him off in the very beginning of the film. But Captain America should have died. Bucky should have become the new Captain America.
Okay,
or at least Falcon.
Instead of going into hibernation.
I mean, that's just lame.
Okay.
That's lame.
Okay, let's talk about some of the new characters that appeared in the movie then, or new-ish characters. So let's start with Black Panther.
That was good.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed the character. I don't know who the actor is. I mean, you know, I've never seen him before, but I thought he did a fine job, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
I think he did. He played Jackie Robinson.
Oh, really?
I thought he played Jackie Robinson in, 42.
Okay. Haven't seen it, so I don't know. Next up is Spider-Man, which I thought was excellent. I was a little surprised with such a young Spider-Man, but I approve.
I like Spider-Man. I didn't like the Aunt May. I like Marissa Tomei, but that's not Aunt May.
Okay, why didn't you like Marissa Tomei as Aunt May?
Because that's not Aunt May. Aunt May's not supposed to look like that.
Well, you know, I agree. And, you know, I was having a chat with some of my friends about Aunt May. So for folks who are old enough to remember the original Spider-Man series, Aunt May looks like she's about 70 or 80 years old. I mean, she looks pretty old and frail, as does Uncle Ben.
Oh, yeah, they're old and frail.
But their nephew is like 15 years old. And, that can happen, sure, I understand. We don't know how old his, you know, Spider-Man's parents are. But it just seemed, though, the disconnect in age always seemed a little odd to me, to have a 70-year-old aunt with a 15-year-old nephew. You know, which meant he was born when she was 55 or thereabouts. So having an aunt in her 50s, as Marissa Tomei is in real life, and a nephew who's, let's say, 15 or 16, so he would have been born when she was 40, kind of makes sense to me.
So, yeah, I can see how it makes sense, but...
You know, which is, you know, and it makes sense to me in a way I like, because it's in the same vein of how I'm kind of upset at Gotham still, although I'm really enjoying Gotham, I have to say. you know, the age differences between Bruce Wayne, the proto Batman, the pre Batman, who is now like 12, and his adult rogues gallery, who are in their 30s and 40s, it appears, makes no sense at all to me. Because they're going to be, by the time he hits 25 or 30, let's say in 10 to 15 years, they're going to be, you know, in their mid 50s to 60s, which makes not a lot of sense to me. Especially the physical villains, like a lot of villains, like Mr. Freeze and so forth.
Yeah, that does the Gotham age difference doesn't make a lot of sense. But I just, when I saw Marissa Tomei cast as Aunt May, she just didn't seem like an Aunt May to me.
Okay, so what did you think about Sally Field playing Aunt May in the previous Spider-Man?
I thought that was great.
You thought that was, and she is more of the age of Aunt May that we saw in the comic book, so.
Yeah, I thought that was appropriate. It's not anything against Marissa Tomei, per se. I just don't think she fit the character. I thought that was miscast.
Okay.
I thought...
About the young actor who plays Spider-Man? What did you think of him?
I thought he was really good, but I thought he was trying too hard to be Peter Parker versus being Peter Parker. Like, you look at Tobey Maguire, right?
My favorite version of Spider-Man, I have to say.
I agree. But he doesn't seem like he's trying to be Peter Parker. This last actor looked like he was acting like he was Peter Parker to me. And it just came off too much of a archetype, not an archetype, too much of a stereotype of what Peter Parker should be.
Okay. I enjoyed his portrayal of Peter Parker. It was very brief. I don't think he had much on-screen time. What do you think, 15, 20 minutes max?
I enjoyed his portrayal of Spider-Man more than Peter Parker.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed both.
I liked the fact that when he got hurt, you saw part of his face.
Yeah.
But not his whole face.
Right.
You know, like they did that in the comic a lot where you see like part of his mask.
Right, right.
But not all of it. I like that part. I enjoyed his banter. I enjoyed them showing his powers and people being freaked out by this. I mean, he's Spider-Man's such a small guy, right? But he's actually very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And I thought they played that up really well. So I thought his portrayal as or at least his digital stunt double, whatever, as Spider-Man was spot on.
And the costume was good. I thought the costume was good.
Oh yeah, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it. That was good. That was one of the Black Panther, Spider-Man, and to be honest, Ant-Man to me were the best parts of the film.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the Scott Lang version of Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. And more spoilers. So, were you surprised to see him become Giant Man?
I did not expect that. But when he said, "There's something that we've been trying in the lab," kind of lab, I went, "No." And then when he became Goliath,
right,
Giant Man, I'm like, "Wow, they actually did that. That's pretty cool." I like that part.
I thought it was well done. I first of all, I was surprised. I enjoyed being surprised, in a very good way. I enjoyed the way they handled the character. I'm not so sure about the physics. I always worried about the physics and biology of Giant Man.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fun to see. It was well done. The special effects were good. Really enjoyed that little surprise. So we got to see Giant Man as well as Ant-Man.
Yeah. Okay, that was a nice touch. That really was.
Okay. Were there any other major new characters that appeared in Civil War aside from sort of Giant Man kind of as a...
Zemo,
a very young Zemo.
Yeah, you know,
a non-World War II Zemo.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for Emil, but I think I'm starting to side with him more. But before, I didn't used to mind so much that they changed so much from the comic.
Right.
But now that they're delving more and more into the comics and kind of stealing things directly from the comics.
Right.
I get more upset, not disturbed. I don't like it as much that they changed so much. It started with X-Men or the original class or whatever it was called.
Right.
The first class. And when they changed so much stuff, I'm like, okay. But it was okay. It was a good movie, I guess. You know. But then with this one, Zemo being so young and different, Slovakian. He wasn't Slovakian, right?
No, he was a Nazi.
He was a Nazi, right?
Yeah.
And then they changed that up, and then, I don't know. They're changing up so much stuff. I mean, the comic books are good enough. Just, if you're going to copy the comic, just do the comic. I mean, just do it. Or do something original. Don't, you know, have these elements that are partly comic and partly not. You know, especially when you don't kill off the character that you're supposed to kill off. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, it's starting to bother me now. It didn't used to bother me as much before, as long as it was a good, a really, really good film. But then sometimes Zemo is so different from what he's supposed to be. It didn't even make sense to me. It was like, why'd you even call him Zemo? You could have called him anything. It's not like, you know, the guy, Arnim Zola?
Yeah.
In the Captain America movie?
Right.
I was okay with that because eventually they made him into a computer.
Right.
And I went, okay, this makes sense to me. And he was a Nazi.
Right.
Right? / Hydra person, but really a Nazi. So having Zemo not what he was supposed to be, I just thought was, I didn't appreciate
it. And that. Not having that weird stripe with red mask.
Well, you know, I'm okay with them not having the same kind of costumes as in the comics, but not to have any element of it bothers me. Like, he should have had something that looked kind of...
Especially since most of the other major characters did have some reference to their comic book costume, if not being pretty darn close to exact.
Yeah, I mean, he could have had, like, a suit or something.
Right.
Like it. Or a jacket or something.
Right.
That evokes something of Zemo, but...
Maybe a purple jacket.
I mean, he pretty much just came out of nowhere.
Right. It was very unexpected. And remained unexpected.
What, that he was Zemo?
Yeah. I think.
No, I knew he was Zemo.
Well, you know, the backstory and all that, just like, that is not Zemo's backstory.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I knew he was supposed to be Zemo.
Okay.
Which I thought was just weird because that really wasn't him. I mean, if anything, it might have been better that he wasn't Zemo and that he was a brand new character. Because, I mean, they introduce new characters all the time. So what's the difference?
Right.
Why try to pigeonhole him into the Zemo character that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so now that we've got a whole bunch of spoilers already.
Oh yeah.
You know, including a Cap doesn't disappear at the end of Civil War.
Yeah.
That Giant Man does appear, which was, I thought was great, and
yeah, that was good.
That was a lot of fun. I kind of, it almost didn't have the epic quality I was expecting because I think there weren't enough superheroes in the, you know, kind of the climactic fight scene where they have, you know, basically, you know, it's 6 versus 6 or 8 versus 8 or whatever it was. Where really it should be dozens and dozens of superheroes against dozens and dozens of other superheroes. So that lacked to me some of the, you know, because of, like you said earlier, because of the licensing constraints.
Yeah, I mean, but I really can't fault them for that. I enjoyed it for what it was. I knew I wouldn't be able to see the full scope of what Civil War was in the comic because of the licensing issues.
I thought it would have been interesting if they had some no-name characters in the, you know, milling around the background, creating a larger scale climax, I guess. You know, you don't have to name all the characters, right? You can just kind of...
Oh. Like superhero A.
Yeah. Right. That, you know, superhero invokes, you know, and it could be anybody, right? It could be like, you know, Dodgeball or whoever, Nova, you know, somebody, right? You know, just, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Nova would have been cool. He would have kicked everyone's butt. Jack Ryder is his name? Right. No, is it Jack Ryder?
And okay, maybe you can tell me this. So in Civil War, does the Hulk and Thor make an appearance in the comic book series?
I don't remember. I mean, it's a long time ago.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, Doctor Strange does.
Ah, and Strange is part of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But he hasn't appeared yet.
Iron Fist.
Your favorite.
Luke Cage.
Yeah, who's in the TV series. But, you know, they're not intersecting, are they?
No, they're not.
And in fact, the actress that plays Daisy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was commenting at some interview just like last week that Marvel is really keeping the TV series universe and the comic books universe very separate, except for that Captain America, Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover last year.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake.
Me too.
And I think, yeah, I really do. I think it's a mistake. I think they're missing a really, really good opportunity. I think they're it's not like the DC's strategy where everything's in its own universe, even Supergirl's. But she may not be, yeah, because she's going to come to CW.
Yeah, she's moving over from CBS to CW in season two, so that'll be interesting. I hope they do more crossovers.
But I
can see more.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should become more part of the cinematic universe, have more science. I think it'd improve the ratings. I've given up on it.
Oh, I'm enjoying it, actually.
I couldn't get past that Inhuman that becomes kind of like a porcupine character.
Porcupine, yeah.
I know he's a character in the comic, but I was like, I just got tired of watching it. You know, and then there was that kind of like burgeoning, you know, romance between Coulson and that woman.
The one that gets killed?
I don't know. I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
You know, she was in charge of that other group.
Right.
Right. So I was like, I don't know. They took too long. It takes too long in their stories to get to something interesting. In my mind.
Okay. So, where are we? Okay. So, kind of wrapping it up then. There were two post-credit endings. One had Black Panther appearing in it. So I guess that's kind of foreshadowing the Black Panther movie, which is coming out, I assume, in a couple of years.
Hopefully that's really good.
Mm-hmm. And the one I couldn't figure out is Peter Parker getting a gift from Tony Stark that appears to be a Spidey signal?
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. Maybe it's in the comic. I don't recall.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Peter Parker kind of had a flashlight that was a Spidey signal, but it wasn't like, this one looked more like a bat signal kind of Spidey signal.
Yeah, I think I actually had a flashlight when I was a kid that had a Spider-Man thing on it.
That's pretty cool.
Or a Batman thing. I had one of those things, I'm sure. I remember they used to sell Spider-Man webbing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it was some sort of compound in a tube. And you would take it out of the tube and you would have to create your webbing. I mean, it was so lame. I went and fell for it. And then, you know, I'm a kid, right? Oh, I'll get Spider-Man webbing. And then it's like, oh, this is so lame. It's not real webbing.
Before I forget, speaking of that little licensed things, at my local Foodland, which is in Hawaii, is a chain grocery store, for those who don't know, a supermarket, for those who don't know, they had Superman and Batman cookies. I'm sure they're not licensed, so. But anyway, they look pretty good. I haven't tried them. Okay, so you don't get that Spidey signal either. I didn't either. I'm looking forward to the next Spider-Man movie, though, because I did not like the last Spider-Man. That was just not good.
Oh, the one with Electro?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really poorly done. They had such great potential to making that such a much better film.
And they had a good group of characters to use, Electro and all that, and they just blew it, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people, that's the thing I get so frustrated online. People talk about how, oh, Marvel's just killing it and everything, and I go, not really, it just depends on which movie. Some movies are good and some movies aren't.
Well, but as a whole, their movies are much better received than the DC movies. Only the Batman series has been well received. The Superman movies, no. Green Lantern, no. Yeah. Than anything else, I can't even think of anything else from DC. Suicide Squad looks good, though.
Well, the rest of the movies they do aren't superhero movies.
Yeah.
Because, like, Red is a DC Comics property. Road to Perdition.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
A History of Violence. So they also make films that are not superhero films, but our comic book based films. Or at least graphic novels.
Right. And okay, so before we go then, I just want to say that, you know, Jay and I haven't had a podcast in a while. We hope to do it more regularly. going forward. We'll see how it goes this summer. And a couple of things we're planning to talk about, or hoping to talk about, I guess, is our talking about some of the superhero TV shows that we didn't have a chance to really talk about since we have had such a long layoff between the last two podcasts. But I want to catch up on that. Flash, Green Arrow. I haven't seen any of the Green Arrow. It's all on my DVR. Flash, I've kept on.
Green Arrow.
Supergirl, I'm behind. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm starting to catch up now. Gotham, I'm all caught up, by the way. And I have to say, having hated the first season, I'm really enjoying this season.
Well, we've totally flipped. I like the first one, and not so much the second season. Oh, and you feel like the second season, I'm like,
And the character I've enjoyed the most, the Penguin.
He's a good character.
He's a great character. And
he's, even in the comics, he's a good character. I love the Penguin. He's one of my favorite Batman villains.
You know, he was, well, for me, the thing was, the Penguin in the first season was not, I don't even know what the word is. I mean, he's a villain, right? I mean, we're not supposed to like the villain, but he was not an interesting character to me. He was just a mean, kind of passive-aggressive turned aggressive-aggressive character. In this season, actually, I guess the ending of the last first season and the rest of this season, you've seen different sides of the Penguin, which makes him more interesting. And I think he replaced who was the mob boss that we liked so much in the first season? Falcone, right?
Yeah.
He's become the new Falcone to me.
Well, you know, he's supposed to. Yeah. I mean, Penguin is.
Well, I mean, but from a character, he's become the heart of the. To me, he's the heart of Gotham.
Oh, that makes sense. I could tell that from a while ago because it's not Jim Gordon for sure. The way they're playing Jim Gordon.
Yeah, he's a stiff.
Yeah, he's not the heart of Gotham for sure.
No. You know. But if you haven't seen it lately, there is one great scene where you know Azrael makes an appearance, as you may know, in a terrible way. They've wasted that character, in my opinion.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I actually want to, because that's one of my favorite Batman characters, Azrael.
Okay, so this is a spoiler. I'm going to spoil it for you, unfortunately, Jay.
That's okay.
But in one of the, I don't know if it was the last episode of the season or the second to last. I'm pretty much caught up, but I'm not sure if I'm all the way caught up. Azrael is about to kill Jim Gordon, Bruce Wayne, and Alfred. And it looks like there's no way out. And all of a sudden, Penguin shows up with his sidekick, whose name I can't remember. And, you know, Azrael turns around and Penguin tells Jim Gordon, you know, you've just got to come prepared for these fights. You've got to bring the right tools. And out comes this rocket launcher. And Azrael looks in, basically, uh-oh. And he gets blown apart. I mean, this is a classic scene.
They kill Azrael?
They kill Azrael.
Oh, that's not right.
That's why I said
Azrael have a flaming sword of God?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about Azrael, he gets reincarnated. They choose another one.
Yeah.
There's always more Azraels to
that's true.
Choose.
That's true.
So that's okay then, I guess. You know, you can blow one up and there'll be another one. That the Order of Saint Dumas will just create another Azrael.
Okay, so anyway, I'm enjoying that. I still have yet to get caught up, as I said, on the others, the other DC ones, especially Supergirl, way behind. Green Arrow, way, way, way behind. I think maybe I watched one episode. Flash caught up on.
What do you think of the announcement this week that they created DC Films with Jeff Johns and John Berg, I think, as the head of that division?
I'm hopeful. At this point, maybe too late to save their franchise. But you can never tell.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to have to go with somebody that's not a big, you know, they're going to have to go with like a Deadpool kind of character. They're going to have to bring out a character that nobody knows. I shouldn't say nobody. The non-fans don't know a lot about, right? Like I know Deadpool is one of your favorite characters, but I honestly didn't know anything about him, except for what you told me.
And, well, I don't like Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't like Deadpool because he's just Rob Liefeld's knockoff of Deathstroke.
But he was just. I mean, it was a tremendously good movie. I really enjoyed the movie.
I did. There were a couple parts, again, that I thought were too long. But that's a, but most of it was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie a lot. And I think they need a, Marvel needs to bring a character like that out. I don't know who at this point.
Marvel or DC?
I'm sorry, DC. DC needs to bring out, you know, a character that, you know, and they've used up so many of their characters. It's hard to say who that, which of those characters that would be. But they need to find, you know, like maybe.
Elongated Man.
Well, that would be interesting. I was thinking more, maybe one of the Charlton characters, like, you know, the Question.
Or, oh, that would be awesome.
I don't know if they still own the rights to Shadow. I think that those rights have reverted back to the estate.
Yeah, they don't. They don't own Shadow.
But you know, that kind of character to resurrect and to try to create a franchise around a, you know, a lesser known character. I don't know, Cyborg, somebody like that.
Well, they are going to create a Cyborg movie.
Are they?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on. That's one of the movies there. They're going to do Aquaman movie, Cyborg movie, Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah. See, I don't think the Aquaman movie is going to work. I just got a feeling they're going to do it wrong.
No,
Wonder Woman too. I think they're gonna blow that one too. They just haven't shown any inclination to doing the major characters except for Batman correctly.
I don't know. I have high hopes for Wonder Woman. That's because I saw Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
she was the best part.
I have heard that from people.
She really was the best part of the whole film. Was Wonder Woman. And the one fight scene that Batman really did, when he did his hand-to-hand combat, that was amazing. Mm. But as a character, Wonder Woman's character was the Wonder Woman character was the best that I saw.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we will maybe talk about one or more of the series. And I think Jay's caught up on a lot of them.
On the DC ones, yeah. Okay. Except Supergirl.
I'll try to catch up on those. Maybe I'll give you a summary of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I enjoyed this past season. Has there been anything else? I guess that's it. I don't know what's upcoming. I have not watched second season of Daredevil.
It wasn't as good as the first.
Oh, sad to hear. And I could not watch Sharon Carter at all, Agent Carter at all.
I tried to, because I actually liked the first season so much, and it got canceled, and I was like,
Yeah, I didn't like the first season. I DVR'd the second season. I watched the first episode, and I said, I can't watch this. This is drivel. And I deleted the series.
So. In my mind, it's still they're taking too long to get the things. That's one reason why, in a way, I like Flash.
Yeah.
Berlanti, is it Greg Berlanti, the producer, the showrunner?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're not
going to... He also does Arrow.
Yeah, we're not going to hold back.
Yeah.
We're just going to put stuff in there. People are like, you're moving things too fast. And I'm like, and he's like, no, we're just going to do it. It's just like with Arrow, right? When they killed off the mother.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Arrow, quite frankly, is a vicious show. They kill off a lot of characters.
There's got to be some. Yeah, it's getting to be a tradition. There's at least one big major character that gets killed off.
Usually two.
Yeah, if not two, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, first the dad, then the mom?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and in a way, that's what makes it an interesting show.
It is, yeah.
You know, they're not holding back. They're just, here, we'll kill someone.
All righty. We will get back to these series, because I know Jay and I have a lot to say. I haven't actually seen it this season, so I still need to catch up. But we'll catch up. We'll figure out something we've both watched, or maybe he'll tell me about one he's watched, and I'll tell him about Gotham or something like that. Alrighty. Mobile Views. Comic Views Podcast number 80, Captain America Civil War, Todd Agosawara, Jay Stone. We will talk to you next time, hopefully sooner than 4 months.